Hello, welcome to the SIG Update. This is our first inaugural episode. I'm QX, and with me I have CW. And since it's our first episode, I think it deserves us that we can do a little intro for each other. As most of you probably know, CW is a very, very active member of the community and the EF. You can see him on his Hash It Out with CWs on Wednesday nights, as well as the dev updates, where he is very well involved in that social outreach and the community. Also, you'll see him on the Twitter account, Sigmanauts, as well as handling a lot of tweets from the official Ergonauts, Ergo Twitter. CW, welcome.
Pleasure to be here, mate. Great initiative sort of organized by yourself to be able to sort of highlight the community and what's going on in the community side of things. I think it's fantastic initiative, and thank you very much for taking the reins. Thank you very much for the kind words, also for the introduction. Tell us a little about yourself.
Oh, back to me, I guess. Perfect. I'm QX. My name is Andre, as well, as some of you may know from Zoom meetings and Sigmanaut updates and that kind of thing. I started in crypto maybe in early 2021 with the GME debacle. Also dabbled in crypto a little there, and then jumped wide into Ergo later on that year, and really haven't looked back. You know, after discovering and jumping into other discords of other tokens and projects, and then jumping into the Ergo ecosystem, it was like just a shock of openness and, hey, let me help you out, or who's this guy I'm talking to? Oh yeah, that's the guy that the wallet I'm using, that he wrote the app, and it was just mind-boggling at that. So that kind of stuff led me to stay, and then I thought, hey, you know, there are some things that I'd like to see done, so I started writing some code for some bots, and you know, the rest is history as far as that goes.
Yeah, it's great to have you on board, and definitely integrated well into the community. I like the banter that you bring in there also, so it's good fun.
Sometimes bad, sometimes good, right? It depends what Telegram I'm in, either Baseless or Gulag or then the official Ergo. Yeah,
definitely.
So this show, we're going to try to highlight some community things. We're not going to try to cover things that you'll see and Hash It Out or in the AMAs or anything like that. We're just going to try to bring to you things that have happened in the community, things that affect the community, as well as try to explain some things in very, very simple terms for the non-devs to get and that kind of thing. So we'll jump into our first segment right off the bat. It is something that I just spoke a little bit to. It's called Who's Who in the Community. And a lot of the times you'll be in chat, you'll be in Telegram and Discord, and you'll see some people in there and you have no idea. You see them talking a lot, but you don't know what they've done or what they're working on or that kind of thing. Chances are they're probably a dev, unless you're an Ergo Baseless, but it'd be nice to put a kind of a name to a process or a project that they're working on. So this is essentially what this section is. And of course, we'll start it off with Mr. Stelfilga. Did I say that right, CW?
Yeah, very well. I think Mr. S will be very happy with the way you pronounce that one. So
I think you do it better. Could you do it for us?
I say Mr. Stelfilga. So I don't know if that's correct. Please let us know, mate, if that's correct or not. But yeah, lead away. Have a bit of an introduction about what he does and how he's involved in the community.
Yeah, so Mr. Stelfilga, you'll see him hang around in the Ergo program, Telly, and Discord. He's the one that created the Ergo wallet for Android and iOS that a lot of us use and love. You can generate cold wallets with this even as well. Scan payment QR codes from other users or websites. You can add a feature that I really like and I use for like my tipper bot and a couple other wallets that I don't really do transactions from mobile. I'll use the read-only mode where you simply just pop in the address and it's instantaneous that you have tracking of all your assets inside that. You can't send, of course, but that's the purpose of that kind of thing. And of course, you can use a wallet to receive tokens and NFTs. So super, super nice guy to reach out to, answer a lot of questions. I think he's helping out, who do you help out? Ergflip this week in chats, I believe. So it's just another example of somebody coming in, brand new guy, Ergflip guy, a week and a half old, I think, and reaching out in the community, saying that he's working on a project, and here comes the developer of the Ergo wallet just to chime in and help him out.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And it's one thing I really hope that Ergo retains is sort of the access to basically the core guys, the foundation guys, even just the developers throughout the ecosystem. Like, for example, you could reach out to Lua Vatra, who's one of the Padeo devs, or on the ErgoPad side, and that everyone will be happy to help. So I think that's fantastic, and open, just create that open mind share and collaboration in the ecosystem. You did mention the cold wallet sort of aspect in regards to what Mr. Scharfelg has put together there on the Ergo wallet side. Now, that's one of my favorite features, to be honest. I use it religiously because obviously you've got a device that's cold, it's offline. You have your hot wallets for everyday sort of transactions, but those precious ergs, you got to look after them and put them to sleep away from any sort of connections and things. So the way they sort of do that on the Android side, you can actually sideload on Android, which is a fantastic feature. So you basically factory reset the device, put the APK on through transfer, and then you install, create your wallets, and then you just put a read-only on a hot wallet and do your transfers there through QR codes. On Apple, it's a little bit different because you have to download through the App Store. So obviously you have to have a connection. So you can download and then put it into flight mode and then go through and do all your creations and things there. So just one little extra step where it does have that access to the internet. But another sort of cool feature is ErgoPay. So being able to interact with, like, say, Spectrum and things through your mobile device. It's awesome that that's been integrated now in a few other dApps. And also Mosaic, it's basically having a dApp integrated into the wallet. So he's got his sort of little side hustle there, or his little project that he works on. It's called TokenJ. So you can interact with the SIGUSD bank directly. There's another number of other sort of features there, which is fantastic. And also it is ported to desktop now. So that's another extension furthermore through the mobile side.
TokenJ is Mr. Stauffelger?
It is, yes.
That's fantastic. See, I mean, there's just so many layers. It's like an onion with this kind of thing with Ergo. Yeah. But can we reiterate for a lot of people? I think there's a misconception about cold wallet in that secondary phone never needs to be on the internet, correct? Unless there's some emergency push update to the wallet app that they need to do. And I think Mr. Stadelfelger said there's only been 3 in the history of the entire Ergo wallet where you needed to update that for that kind of thing.
Yeah. So the way that you sign the transaction is basically through QR codes. So you generate it on a read-only wallet. You transfer it by QR code to the cold wallet just by scanning the QR code. It brings all the transaction details. Then you sign it on the cold wallet device, and then it'll generate another QR code, which you scan on the read-only wallet, and it'll send the transaction through, which is, yeah, simple terms.
That's amazing.
Never needs to touch access to the internet, which is the whole purpose of a cold wallet. You did mention having to have to do the updates. Sorry, this cord's annoying me. Having to do the updates on iOS, then that's one of the downsides where you can't sideload the applications. You do have to go onto the App Store and then basically update the app then. But if I was in that situation, I'd just create a new wallet if that was the case.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. True.
Whereas yeah, on the Android side, you can just download the source of APK and then just put it to a USB or disconnect your computer from the internet, things like that, and then just do the
even install your own ROM with an unlocked bootloader, yeah, and that kind of thing too, if you have a really secure and trusted ROM that you use for your Android phone, then you can do that and then go right from there, which is fantastic. All right. Yeah, well, exactly. That's a lot of stuff for one guy to do. That's fantastic. Let's move on to number 2. We have Gaza. And where do we find Gaza, CW?
So Gaza and I have a nice little history. Like, we're good mates. We talk a lot behind the scenes in DMs and things like that. We just get on like a house on fire. So, shout out to Gaza. Welcome, mate. But he's been in Ergo for a very long time. I think about the same time that I sort of jumped in also. But he actually is the community manager now for Spectrum. So he's been there for well over sort of 12 months now before the beta and everything was released. And hats off to him. He's a very, very patient man having to deal with some sort of tricky situations on the community front.
We can't speak of that acronym that is that token that is supposed to drop sometime. We shouldn't say it on this channel.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, very kind man. Has a very kind heart and everything like that, but then also has the ability to manage the community very well over on the Spectrum side. But yeah, if you jump into any other sort of social channels on Ergo as a whole, he'll be always interacting and discussing and happy to answer any questions.
And not just that, I mean, the guy, probably much to the dislike of his girlfriend or fiance or whatever partner he has, this man is like always there and connected, unfortunately for him. I mean, I've texted him at strange hours and said, hey Gazzo, you know, what's up with the API, or you know, can I get a little thing here? And he's like, yeah, I'll do that in the morning. And then I'm like, oh, it's 12:30, why am I texting him and why is he writing me back?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of thing.
But yeah,
he's also one of the ones who coined the term soon. So you would have heard him or seen him type soon many a time throughout the community. So yeah, he's definitely one of the advocates for there. And yeah, also well known for a number of other sort of things throughout the ecosystem. But the more you get to know him, he's more than happy to talk about that. But I'll let him share those sort of side of this, all those stories. Sorry.
That's awesome. All right, let's head on to Noah. When I first came in, it was very apparent who Noah was and what his role was and what he took on as his role in the Ergo ecosystem. And actually I had a little write-up for him in a sentence. And earlier, before we started recording the show, CW pointed me towards the community page. And literally the first sentence there was exactly what I wrote and interpreted his role as, which is like an Ergo ambassador. His job is to essentially, that he's taken on, is to essentially connect things, make grease the wheels, give some kudos, give some motivation, check on progress, that kind of thing. He's in every corner, every project, poking, testing it out. You could see with a little app we're going to talk about in a little bit, the blob fights, he was, you know, right on that kind of thing, helping promote it, helping test it, as well as I think he was helping with ErgFlip a little bit as well. The guy's just everywhere trying to push Ergo forward and help out a ton. And I think he goes way back with UCW as well, right?
Yeah, so I was basically, I was around when he sort of joined the community, and he's still a little bit fresh on that front, but, the crypto front. But yeah, definitely heavily involved now, as everyone, like you just mentioned, everyone knows Noah. He's into every project. He's questioning people. He's asking all the right questions. So he's basically dove headfirst into the community, which is fantastic to see. And that's the beauty of Ergo as well, is there's a spot for everyone. Like, you might not have a technical background, but you can have like a community sort of like that sort of personality where you sort of want to connect and talk about people or talk to people and all that sort of side of things. So previously, throughout a number of sort of hackathons and things like that, he's basically jumped right in there and got involved and connected devs to projects, and whether it's back end or front end and all that sort of side of things. And all that sort of work doesn't go unnoticed. And ultimately, sort of when I was brought on into the EF, we sort of wanted to restructure the event side of things. So we actually brought Noah on to manage that aspect and the event side of things, and basically keep people posted and updated with sort of their obligations on updates and videos and numerous other aspects. So yeah, very, very invaluable resource. And yeah, he's it'd be hard to get around Noah, because he's got his little finger in every pie and he's always throughout the nooks and crannies reading, which is fantastic. So it's great to have on board. And he's also, he runs the Sigmaverse.io Twitter.
That's right. So yes, he does.
So he jumped onto there, and he's one of the big driving forces behind the update of Sigmaverse.io as well. So thank you very much for sort of all that sort of community correlation and getting all that data together and driving and moving the community forward, like you mentioned.
He is, and I'll say that I'm on a chat with him in Telegram on a project, And he makes no shame about popping in there once in a while and saying, hey, you know, when's that release you were talking about kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh, it's so great to have.
It's great to have. I know. And in these kind of, in the Ergo ecosystem, I don't think anybody should be ashamed to ask a question about, hey, you know, where's this thing you said was going to be here by then? You know, and if the somebody ignores you, then that speaks volumes. But if they, you know, come out and say, you know, this is what's up and this is what's happening, then, you know, that's all people are looking for, essentially. I mean, that's, of course, we'll have the moon boys, essentially, that are like, that's not good enough. I need it now. But sorry, what were you going to say, CW?
I was just going to say it just keeps people accountable. And like, there's no malicious act or anything around that sort of side of things. It's just a quick update. Say, hey, guys, how's things going? How are things going? What updates can you provide us? And it's more so just keep the community involved. And like you said, if there's nothing wrong or anything like that, then everyone's happy to provide those updates. But yeah, Noah's out there chasing them and yeah, invaluable resource once again. And luckily for me, I get to speak to him weekly as well on the Hash It Out series. So I've got to know him pretty well.
That's awesome. Fantastic. All right, the last community member we're going to talk about today, and we can't mention one without the other. So we're going to mention the creator of the Nautilus wallet, which everybody knows is the Captain Nemo. not only the Nautilus wallet, but Fleet SDK. And he also recently integrated Babel fees into the Nautilus wallet, which is amazing. And honestly, Nautilus was the first jump I did from Yoroi. Is that how you say it, Yoroi?
I say Yoroi.
Yoroi, it's like when I was a kid and I used to read the Robert Jordan books, those big, thick, yeah, you know, fantasy books. And then I would speak to my friends about it. My name pronunciations would be so far off from normal. So I'm always very self-conscious about that kind of thing. If you don't hear it, you know, then you just kind of have to guess.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. I actually downloaded the for the Babel fee integration that Captain Nemo has done. Excuse me, there is a unpacked Chrome extension that you can download from his GitHub. You can pack it up and bring it right into Chrome, and it's amazing. I sent his wallet, his test wallet, some love as a TXV, which works, and a few other non-ERG transactions. Paying with tokens, which is fantastic. And we're going to talk about that actually in the next segment about how that works. But I'm sure you know more about Captain Nemo than I do, CW.
Well, Nemo basically came onto the scene, when was it? It was probably about 12 months, if not a little bit earlier ago. And it's basically sort of, I think it stemmed from basically the troubles that ErgoDex at the time was having with Yoroi and the DAP connector aspect. So there was a thorn in everyone's side. There was transactions failing. Things were taking forever. It wasn't syncing properly. And it basically was a bad reflection on ErgoDex, to be honest, because people trying to interact with the DEX itself, that's the user experience, is through Yoroi. So that's, they thought the experience was generated through ErgoDex, but ultimately it was Yoroi. So it was sort of highlighted. And then Nemo jumped on and basically created Nautilus in, I don't know, the updates were pretty fast. So I think it was integrating like a DAP connector in like 2 weeks and a number of other things. And I remember doing some initial testing. I've got a wallet with sort of 14,000 plus UTXOs, and that's basically from running an Oracle and how dusty the reward system is on that side of things. So being able to jump on to Nautilus and sync that wallet, and it took about 2 or 3 seconds, whereas on Yoroi, it just basically blew it up. So
spin.
So I was pretty, I had my mind blown by that, and being able to jump into the ecosystem and then interact with the DEX properly, people were actually surprised at how efficient ErgoDex was then working, having the right tooling then to be able to interact with it. So yeah, fantastic person. Once again, if you want to jump onto the Telegram channel, or even just send a DM, I guess, always open to discuss issues and ask questions about, like you mentioned, you can have sort of correspondence there. It's no problem. And like I said, well, like we've discussed earlier, having that open sort of discussion in the ecosystem, it's just, yeah, fantastic to have.
Having that access.
On a side note also, some pretty spicy tweets every now and again on Twitter. And probably well renowned as like a GIF champion. So where they find the GIFs from, I've got no idea, but there's some pretty cool stuff out there and it cracks me up every now and then.
I did. He's been very busy the last few days tweeting for sure as well. Yeah. And I have this written down here that I saved from someone. I don't know who said it, but they said it in the Ergo platform main Telegram that Captain Nemo is a bastion of Ergo community integrity, essentially.
That's very nice words, I guess.
But I remember joining the Nautilus channel back when there was no icon on the Telegram and he was running a little competition for logos, and I sent a logo in. It was like a straight on submarine. It looked very like old time Mariner style. Not as nice as the logo he chose, of course. But I remember the guy just sends me 10 erg. And this is back when erg was like $5. And I was like, what? You know, you didn't even use my logo, but I'm participating in your showing me kudos for that. And that's just one of the things that really stuck with me back then.
Yeah, huge advocate for open source as well. I think all the number of people out or something along those lines. You see the tweets and things always sort of throwing shade where it's deserved. And huge advocate for open source, which ultimately drives everyone forward. So you mentioned you can sort of compile everything through the Chrome extensions and things through the Git. Everything's open source. And you did mention Fleet SDK as well. So having that JavaScript software development kit there as well to be able to jump on there and do your thing. There was an example of how to create a transaction in, I think it was 2 minutes or something.
2 minutes, exactly. Posted, he's got the video on his Twitter, I think. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. And it's stuff like that that immensely lowers a barrier for anybody else trying to come on. When I was writing for Ergo Hack 5, I have no idea how to interact with a blockchain. You know, I'm used to doing SQL code in the back end with some basic front ends of inputting and showing data. And that was my shtick, and as well as bots, and no idea. So I jumped in and I saw that there was ErgPy, which was made by MGPy. Same kind of thing. He's built Python interaction with Ergo. And I was able to just use the code that I know to interact with Python to send the transaction, and the barrier was just removed. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. There was a professor at the school that I teach, a very famous professor, Don Greenberg, the father of computer graphics, they call him, has some really good words of wisdom in one of the lectures. I'm going to try not to butcher it too much, but he says that there are these barriers or these ceilings that you can't get through, you know, sometimes. Like he started off with saying with VR, you know, they had VR forever, he said. They've had it for 20, 30 years, you know, where they could have goggles on the head, but there was always that head tracking and refresh, and it just wasn't quite there. But he said, once that one thing is figured out, then it's just a floodgate. It's like triples and quadruples of progress immediately after that. It's like there's a dam, water's building up. As soon as that one little thing is figured out, so much more is possible beyond that. So I feel like these things like Fleet SDK, like ErgPy by MGPy, are just these kind of little pathways over this bridge that let the floodgates of so many other things come through, which is only great for the Ergo ecosystem.
Yeah, it's a great little analogy there. And that's the way I see it as well. Basically, you can probably just encompass that as EUTXO as a whole. Obviously, it's a new accounting model, new programming sort of paradigm, and how to construct contracts and all that sort of side of thing. So it's just taking a different mindset. And once people are starting to figure out all these little concepts and things and seeing that what sort of the power and the capability of EUTXO has, but then the flexibility of Ergo script, and then once again you build all these SDKs and everything on top, it's just building up all this resourcing for anyone to come into the ecosystem and then just basically run. So everything's, or I'd say 99% of things are open source, so you're not reinventing the wheel. You might have a nice idea and you can take a little bit from there and here and sort of get it together and basically run with it. And that's another beauty of Ergo. We sort of keep belting that drum and things like that on the open source side of things. And like you just mentioned, that sort of all ties into sort of building all that mind share up to open and explode the ecosystem through the development and adoption.
100%. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, let's well, that took a little more time than I thought to talk about all those amazing people. So let's head on to our next segment, which is called Dev Updates for Dummies. And this is named after those yellow books. Yeah. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is something that confused a lot of people, and that is Babel fees. So Babel fees, as CW mentioned earlier, was really one of the first community EIP pushes of code that made it to the blockchain. Is that what you were saying, CW?
Yeah, so the EIP was initially put forward, I think it was by Nitram, and then further developed by LGD or Luca. And basically, it was a community push there in collaboration, sort of putting all that together. And then obviously, you know, you get the likes of the core devs and Kushti and everyone like that to run their eyes over it. Mr. Strafelger, I think, had a bit of involvement there as well. And having that sort of concept coming from the community, had being reviewed and then ultimately integrated into the sort of the protocol itself is fantastic. And so the integration there with Nautilus, I believe the mobile wallet has that also, so you can interact with or create boxes even through the Ergo wallet itself.
The Token J thing
on Token J or on through Mosaic. So yeah, it's pretty cool. And I know Cafe Boudin or however you pronounce that name, yeah, has had a lot to do in jumping on and doing.
We'll talk about him next week for sure. He's got a big story.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, it's an interesting concept and one that's been around in the Ergo ecosystem for a number of years now, initially integrated into the Ergo Mixer. So you can basically pay for transaction fees with SIGUSD on that front. Obviously, with some research and on the Cardano side, they basically formalized the theory behind what a Babel fee is and things like that, and basically made the term sexy of Babel fees. And here at Ergo, a little bit of discussions and things like that basically started at the start of the year around Babels. And yeah, ultimately, we see that integrated here on our blockchain, which is fantastic to see. And what it allows is being able to pay for transaction fees in native tokens, so anything that's outside of ERG. So yeah, there's a number of use cases that can be very handy for.
So to break that down very simply, when I make a transaction, when I want to, let's say I want to send you money, CW, I want to send you some ERG, not even, let's say I want to send you love, which I'm a little biased about my token. So I want to send you love, but I want to do it from, let's say, my tipper wallet, okay? That has zero ERG in it because I haven't been tipped ERG, let's say. Every transaction costs a little bit of ERG, and that's 0.001, I believe, ERG. Some wallets will charge 0.0011 or 0.0012. Some exchanges charge a fee on top of that as well when you transfer out. So I want to send this to you. It's going to cost me that 0.001. But with Babel fees and from using the UI that Captain Nemo made in Nautilus, I can zero out and put that I want to send you one love. And then down below, I can say, instead of ERG, I would like to send this in love as well. So essentially I'm sending you pure love. And what this does, and I actually checked with Captain Nemo in the morning, this is not a separate transaction to convert from love to ERG to pay the transaction fee. It's done in one swift auto shot. All of it's wrapped up together, sent, transferred, and you get the love. The transaction fee was converted to ERG to pay it from the love that I sent as a TX fee, and all is good.
Yeah, it builds, there's a number of sort of use cases, especially on the DeFi front, which can be utilized. So you can come into the ecosystem and say you get tipped Comet and you don't have any ERG in your wallet and you want to sort of transfer it to the DEX or something along those lines. You have that ability to do so, spending your transaction fee with Comet. But what I really find fascinating is combining it with smart pools. So you might have like a FIMO, that's a term coined in the Ergo ecosystem. It's a first initial miner offering. So basically you create a project and then you want to distribute tokens through or to miners and have a basically a fair launch, or you can even mimic how Ergo was launched. And in doing so, me as a miner connecting to that smart pool, I'm only getting say your love to my wallet. So in doing so, I then, if I wanted to transact previously, I'd have to go and then purchase ERG, transfer it to the wallet, and then being able to transact out. From a miner's perspective, they can just do that seamlessly now with the Babel piece integrated. It's fantastic sort of technology, and I can't wait to see things built out on top of it.
And I mean, it was one of those things where you heard whispers of and you heard talkings about, and then all of a sudden, boom, here's a, you know, Captain Nemo showing it being done on his wallet. And you're like, wait, what? What just happened, kind of thing. And that's the amazing thing about Ergo, is there's no barrier to that. If you want to do something, you do it. You know, if there's a hole, then pick up a shovel and fill it. Or if there's a high shelf, build a platform to get up onto it, kind of thing. And this is a perfect example of that kind of thing.
Yeah, most definitely. Very well said. And opens up many possibilities on the DeFi front, like I just mentioned.
Awesome. All right, let's move to the next one, Rosen Bridge. And I know there's been a lot of explanations. Arminio, Joe had a good explanation of it on, was it Hash It Out or was it the AMA? It's one of the ones I watched recently.
Yeah, the most recent AMA.
The most recent AMA. He had a pretty good explanation of it, almost, you know, to the point where I didn't want to mention it again, but I don't think it hurts to mention it again and how it works. And Rosen Bridge was integrated or made by MH Sam and his team. And it really allows a swapping of tokens from one chain to the other. And in very, very simple terms, and CW, please correct me or stop me or whatever you need to do. let's say we take Cardano. We'll take that chain. And we have a series of watchers on that chain. And those are watching for it's watching for a transaction that wants to jump the chains. Once the watchers see that, they build a box. Then there's another set of things called guards. These guards, there's many of them. I think they said today you can have 30 on a chain, I think. Did I see that today?
There's a currently guard set of 30.
The guard set of 30. So these guards will watch those boxes. And the purpose of this is so that you don't have the guards busy watching everything. That's a watcher's job. They'll create that box. The guards watch those boxes. They see that request. They then verify that's actually legitimate. They reach a consensus. And then that's when it's triggered for the other chain, Ergo, because we're going that way, to release the tokens on that side, essentially. So all we need on the other chain, like ADA or Bitcoin, is a multi-sig wallet in simple terms. Is that pretty close, CW?
Yeah, very simple terms. Very high level discussion or example there, exactly what it is. So it is an ergo-centric framework for the bridging sort of side of things. And the cool thing about it is it's just basically using all of Ergo security and assumptions, Ergo script and the proof of work side of things, and just applying that to sort of the bridge itself. The smart contracts are only running on Ergo. They're not deployed on chain X or chain Y and integrating more sort of attack vectors on that front. Like you mentioned, it's just integrating or utilizing a multi-sig or a threshold signature on chain X or chain Y. And then you've got basically the two-factor authentication then with the watches and the guards that's even further distributing power, which is fantastic. One can't act independently of one another. So yes, just a sort of another layer of transparency, trust, and hopefully security on that front.
And the amazing thing that you mentioned earlier, before we hit the record button, unfortunately, is that it's not only a one-stop shop in the future. The idea is that Ergo will become a hub of this. If somebody wants to go from ADA to Bitcoin or Bitcoin to something else and not stop at Ergo, they're hopefully can be able to do that in the future transparently or automatically, where you're not pushing any extra buttons or that kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's it's one thing that a lot of people sort of haven't realized. And I actually confirmed it with MHS. Basically, it allows Ergo to become a hub of, like, a bridging hub of the industry. So like you just mentioned as on that example, if you want to put Bitcoin onto Cardano, you can do so, but it doesn't have to go through Ergo, but Ergo acts as the consensus layer for that to be able to happen. Yeah, you could go from Nervos to BTC or Nervos to ADA or numerous sort of things. It doesn't have to be Ergo to Bitcoin or Ergo to Cardano and then from Ergo to Bitcoin to do that sort of jump. It just goes one to the other and everything's sort of running on Ergo and utilizing Ergo security, like I mentioned earlier.
That's absolutely amazing. And the great part about this too is that, you know, for the people in the know, at least, if they have questions, they can just check the code.
Yeah, exactly. All the my understanding, all the repos now are all public for the Bridge framework. Clear, transparent, how everything interacts and things like that. So it is deployed on both the Ergo and Cardano mainnets currently in a soft launch sort of form. So it's just a lot of sort of refactoring and refinement there and ultimately testing and hardening sort of the process before it's sort of gone to a public beta. And just obviously we'll sort of see that with time and with time is the sort of hardening of the protocol and hopefully everything is well. So yeah, it's fantastic to see that create that opportunity for the industry, not just Ergo or opening up the Ergo ecosystem. It basically can open up the entire sort of crypto industry.
And my mind is still blown from just learning that tonight when you were talking about it earlier, that you can go right through and Ergo can be the consensus or the authoritative mechanism there to enable you to lock tokens on one and go to a completely different chain and bring them over there, kind of thing, which absolutely amazing.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely awesome. I mean, that's I mean, there's nothing but good that hopefully can come out of that, you know. Knock on wood somewhere.
Yeah, knock on wood. And obviously there's the disclaimer as well. We've seen, I think, upwards of sort of $2 billion in bridge hacks and things like that. So obviously time will tell. That's ultimately sort of deciding factor. There's a lot of sort of thought process has gone into this. MHS does have a security PhD and all these sort of side of things. So very well educated, spoken to a lot of people throughout the industry, and a lot of research has gone into this sort of framework. And basically, it's not built to be fast as well. It's probably something else that should be sort of discussed here. It's not sort of, I don't want to transfer Bitcoin to Ergo in a matter of seconds.
It's got to wait for some consensus there. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of time for consensus and make sure that the Bitcoin has been deposited into that wallet, and that's where the guarders and the watchers sort of check everything to make sure that things have been reached. And ultimately the transaction could take 20 minutes, half an hour, that sort of side of things. So there's a lot, it's built to be secure, not fast. So something else to be sort of mindful of there.
I think the industry will ultimately, you know, embrace that as far as that goes. Especially when hopping bridges, the first thing that I would look for, you know, as a community dev and as somebody that stores some assets in cryptocurrency, is security. I mean, we're already dealing with, if I want to pull money off Venmo, I'm waiting for 3 days to transfer my money. You know, if I want to send money to a Bitcoin so I can pull it out of a vending machine or something like that, then 30 minutes is going to be fine with me if I'm sure that kind of transaction is safe, secure, well thought out, and pretty rock solid.
Yeah, the industry is kind of utilized sort of like the EVM bridge side of things, basically for arbitraging between different DEXs and things like that. And that's where they need that speed to be able to sort of take advantage of those arbitrage opportunities. Whereas with doing so, you might sort of let the security lapse a little bit to try and create that speed and centralize the DEX, the bridge itself. So obviously, with the design of Rosen itself, it's is built to be secure. There won't be sort of those opportunities to sort of take advantage of those arbitrage sort of side of things initially, but who knows what will be built in the future. But yeah, it's more so of a like a transfer of wealth or that sort of side of things. So say you want to add liquidity to Spectrum or something like that, you might transfer 5 BTC and you don't care if it takes 20 minutes or half an hour. You want to make sure that it goes to Spectrum and or to Ergo and ultimately onto Spectrum safe and securely. So that's basically where you can kind of see it is at the moment.
Cool. Very good explanation. Our third thing for dev updates for dummies, I have this in there. It's not really an update, but I wanted to mention something that's that I ran into while using it. Let me share my screen here. Duck pools. We even know we've heard a lot about this on the chats recently, right?
Yeah.
And this is
cool,
this is
a little collateralized lending protocol, just building out another tool on for DeFi on Ergo.
Yeah. And essentially right now they have it locked down to only one Ergo. Well, let's connect here and make sure it's not going to show anything private. Here we go. Okay, so we can lend up to one Ergo at a time for beta testing right here. That's very kind of them to do this. That's very responsible, I would say, because we know there's a lot of degens around that are just going to YOLO into this kind of thing. We can lend it right there, and we can also borrow. And we can see in the lending, there's already 189 wallets that essentially have lent one erg per lend, or one erg per time. So it could be less wallets, I guess. Borrowing is the same kind of way. We take out one thing to borrow. We can borrow only an ERG for now, I believe. And we can collateralize in SIGUSD or SIGRSV. And the thing I wanted to bring up here is there were some questions in chat that we answered about what these mean here. And with a collateral, CW explained it very well beforehand, if you want to take a stab at it.
Yeah, so duck pools is a collateralized lending protocol and it is decentralized. So it's not like a BlockFi or a Celsius sort of thing where you basically DeFi under the guise of DeFi.
It's all pooled right here and locked.
All run by smart contracts, the mutable side of things. And so if I wanted to borrow one ERG, then I need to put up 135%, so 1.35 ERG, if that was the case, or I think it goes up to 170, I believe. Yep. So in doing so, if I'm not able to make repayments or the terms for that one ERG repayment, then I'll be liquidated ultimately of my collateral. And that's where it sort of ensures things are not manipulated and everything like that. So on the collateral side, it's basically, think about it from, you could use a car loan, for example. If you've got a secured car loan, the car itself is the collateral against that loan itself. It's a little bit different because it's kind of under collateralized in that sense, being a depreciative asset. So yeah, just a couple of sort of nuances there, but ultimately having that collateral there basically ensures the protocol isn't taken advantage of. And if you do get liquidated and you're not able to meet your terms, then it will then sort of pay that to the protocol and ultimately the users. And that's the driving force of being able to sort of pay the APY fees and things like that. I think it's at 5%. I think,
5.86% interest rate. Yep, you got it.
Apparently, yeah.
We had mentioned in the Discord to add a little bubble here about what these specifically, why these numbers are here. And I believe the response was that the liquidation percentage is 120%. So if you take out a one SIG USD loan and the price of your collateral drops below 120%, then it's automatically liquidated. And so that's why it might be better for lower risk of being liquidated to give a little bit more collateral so there's a little more room, especially in a market where stuff's dipping left and right and coming back up and dipping more kind of thing. You could find yourself in a situation where, you know, you have the funds to cover it. It's, you know, at least during testing, of course, it's one erg, but you might not want it to liquidate at that point. So that's where those three percentages come into play.
Yeah, a couple of examples I could see being utilized there for the different collateral percentages is, say you want to take advantage of, say, a arbitrage opportunity on the DEX, you can just go in, do your minimum collateral, because then you've got your maximum exposure. You borrow your funds, you can then do your swaps and things, and then go back straight away, and then basically pay out your loan and take advantage of your sort of little arbitrage opportunity there. Whereas maybe something you want to do a lot longer term, say you don't want to sell your ERG, you can put it in as collateral, you can borrow some and not have to have a taxable event, for example, through sort of basically selling your ERG. You can sort of go through this loan sort of side of things, and ultimately it is a loan. That's where you could probably put up your 170% sort of side for your liquidations.
That's pretty neat. I'm excited to see what this pool number is going to grow to once they pull out of beta or pull out of testing. That'll be interesting to see. And I think there was somebody on Discord, I can't recall the name, and Twitter, they did a series of three nested loans. Did you see that, CW?
Yeah, so that was Crassifus. So he's one of the developers for the DuckPools protocol.
Oh, that's one of the devs. Fantastic. Okay.
Yeah, so he basically allowed doing three consecutive borrows. So you borrow one, or you put up your collateral once, and then you borrow against that three times. And that's basically a 3x leverage. Obviously, a little bit more risk there. You've got more exposure to the market and things like that. So, just obviously the age-old saying, which is pretty well-renowned in the Ergo ecosystem, manage your risk and trade well. Obviously, interacting with the default side of things, you have to know your assumptions. And that's something that you're sort of pretty, you're going to mention in regards to that KYA side of things as well.
Yes, yes. Good point. Very good point. And I think you guys chatted a little bit about this on the show or the AMA, or somebody mentioned this as well, same kind of thing, which is good. Yeah, good for everybody. Last week's hash it out. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, that's the done with the dummy segment. Now we're going on to another segment called I didn't know where that was. And I find that there's a huge need for that, at least in the community chats. You know, people ask questions there without realizing there's a wealth of documentation, videos, all that kind of stuff that explain everything. And I realize not everybody wants to look at that. And some people would rather, you know, get their question answered immediately in chat by somebody. But it is good to know where this kind of stuff exists. So the first thing I'd like to go to is, I'm already there. Ergo Docs. And CW, who is this maintained by?
So it's basically a culmination of numerous resources. So the Ergo ecosystem, pretty broad reaching and things like that. So there's been posts on forums and numerous sort of things. So this is basically correlating all that data, and Glasgow's taken the initiative there. It is a GitHub docs. So if you see something that needs to be amended or you want to add something, by all means, jump on and put a PR in there and basically have that integrated into the doc system itself, or you want to sort of do some editing, any organization, by all means, jump on there and help Glasgow out on that one. But yeah, it's a fantastic resource. It's basically starting from what Ergo is, has some explanations about what the technology is in regards to, say, what EUTXO is, storage, rent elaborations, dives into miners side of things. So you can set up like a Stratums, how to solo mine, how to run a node, numerous sort of things in there. So it's very broad reaching and a fantastic resource. So you can, if you want an overview of the ecosystem, you can jump on there. If you want to develop, it has explanations and tutorials and links to that sort of side of it. It's a fantastic resource and definitely one that's underutilized. And it's just basically just done this little redesign and having the tiles there just to help navigate a little bit easier.
And this kind of stuff must be a nightmare to try to keep up with as well. So that's, as you were saying, please just click that GitHub button up top there, and you can come down and you can see how you can contribute either by editing the documentation and doing a push there, even if you're not a dev, and going from there. But many hands on this kind of thing, even just a few, is going to make a big difference to those newcomers coming in still on Yilroy Wallet because they saw some old YouTube video and, you know, wondering why it's spinning and spinning and spinning, and then coming into chat and saying, oh my gosh, my funds are stuck in Yilroy. And everybody says, no, it's okay. Your funds aren't actually in Yilroy. You know, you can restore to Nautilus or Terminus, and they'll be all there.
Yeah. The cool thing about it is, and one thing that sort of does drive that sort of community collaboration is the community is growing at such a fast rate, and especially over the last sort of 6 to 12 months, it's going pretty quickly. And to be able to like, I'm pretty heavily involved in the ecosystem and trying to keep on top of things as much as I possibly can, but you can't cover everything and things do slip. So even if you're a developer and you create a tutorial, you can push it on here and have your tutorial up there, and ultimately that's a great resource for anyone jumping in. That's just one example. Or for instance, I was talking to a gentleman on Twitter and discussing setting up a Stratum server and things like that. So documenting that process and going through, and ultimately that drives the barrier of entry down for the next person coming in wanting to do so. Little things like that. So it just helps out the community tenfold.
Exactly. So building off that, just to give you a little example of how the community reacts to this kind of thing, there may be other ways that people think that these kind of things may be viewed. So there's one person in the community that said exactly that and said, hey, look, I can also take this kind of stuff and put it in more of a look that may attract a different base of users, you know, that are used to a different kind of look. So he came up with this. This is his essentially, it's AirCube. It's a little conglomeration of a ton of YouTube videos that are content creators, dApps, wallets, Ergo games. He's got my price bots here on the side, feeding him data here. So this is a community, and I remember when this guy first came in, Ergo Design was his name, his handle. He said, hey, I'd like to make something like this. Who do I ask permission for?
No, you don't have to ask permission in Ergo. Just like you said earlier, if you see a hole, grab a shovel and fill it. Or if you see something sort of out of reach, build the ladder to get there. This is a perfect example of community member jumping in and building a very valuable resource for the community itself.
Exactly. All right, fantastic. I think that covers our I don't know where that was segment. So let me stop the share real quick. All right. Next segment, we've talked a little bit about some of this stuff already, so we're going to cut a little bit of them. But it's a community chat segment. Essentially, what has been talked about this week in chat, what's going on in maybe even baseless or trading or mining or that kind of thing, anything that really sticks out as notable to mention that you may have missed, you know, because sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and there'll be 300 chats in baseless and I'm like, oh my gosh, what has Sahar been up to or that kind of thing. Yeah. And it's really tough to catch up, especially if you have a 9-to-5 job and that kind of thing. So this week and some of last week and some of this early week, there was a lot of chat about cold wallets, which you hit before. So we don't really need to touch up on that again. But it was very apparent to somebody, I can't recall their name right now, but they were speaking about Ledger and what they could do with their Ledger. And then they discovered... and I think Mr. Stealth Felga came into the chat and discussed some things too, which is of course amazing, and even gave some specs. But this new user recently just realized that, oh my gosh, I can use my old phone as a cold wallet. In his mind, that gave him the comfort of security that he would have gotten from Ledger. I'm not saying that it's equivalent, of course, but for him specifically, it gave him that comfort that was enough to say, wow, how come more people don't know about this? This should be plastered on the front page that says, use this instead of Ledger, which of course people backpedaled on a little bit, but you get the idea. But that was really nice to see the community come together there, help them educate on how to do it, have the wallet dev actually come in and chat about it based on that and give some information on what phones you could use and how old you could go, and even let them know what phone he used as well for that kind of thing.
Yeah, most definitely. And we saw sort of what happened in the industry sort of the last couple of weeks, even just this year, to be honest. And the big push there for self-custody. So a lot of people still do keep their coins on exchanges. And
they don't know any better. They don't, yeah.
Obviously, we know not your keys, not your coins. And ultimately, you see an exchange go down, or say a DeFi protocol or a CeFi protocol sort of go under. And if you've got your coins on there, then you don't have access to them because you don't have signing rights of that coin. It's in the exchange wallet, and they ultimately... it's in their custody.
Can you specify for the users, for the people watching, when you say exchange wallet, you mean an exchange wallet, right? It's not like it's in a little separate bin just for that person, correct? Am I overstating that? It's in one big bank account, and your little wallet on the exchange just says that you have access to that. It's very similar to a conventional bank.
Basically, yes. In essence, an exchange sort of runs their own little ledger and sort of monitor who owns what. So in Erg's case, you've got an Ergo wallet. They've got custody of that Ergo wallet. You deposit into that Ergo wallet. How they distribute things there, it's basically a little internal ledger, and that's how they monitor things on the user sort of side of it. And then when you withdraw, it's actually coming from that big pot into your self-custody wallet. So ultimately, if you do have coins on an exchange, it's in the exchange wallet. They have control over that. They have custody of what's in that wallet itself.
So if they don't want you to have that money because something's happening, what happens, CW?
Well, ultimately, if things go pear-shaped, then they take custody of what's in that wallet itself. And the users are the ones that ultimately sort of are burned by that process. So there is some sort of incentives there to be able to keep coins on their wallet, and obviously created by the exchanges, and that's through trading bots and things like that. And what that then in turn does is drive fees and ultimately revenue for the exchange itself. But with sort of some dodgy practices that we've seen ultimately come to light over the last couple of weeks, and the exchanges then are using customer funds in that wallet to be able to sort of send and lend out. And yeah, we all see that spiral out of control pretty quickly in regards to sort of when we see a run on the bank or the exchanges not having the liquidity there to be able to pay out to their clients. So I'm a huge advocate for self-custody, jumping on an exchange, being able to purchase and or sell and come straight back off. I don't have any funds on exchanges. You see numerous time and time again, people getting burned and things like that. So yeah, obviously manage your risk, trade well, and ultimately, yeah, that's having that self-custody side of it, the cold wallet feature there from Ergo Wallet. I'm a huge advocate for it. I've got big hands, so playing with a little ledger, they're not my sort of favorite things to do. I like having all the information displayed on one screen, being able to check wallet, transaction details such as the amounts, the addresses, the TX details, all that sort of stuff on one sort of screen. I like being able to go through that. And just an update on Ledger. Might have had a little bit of a breakthrough there. So
are you revealing it right now on this show, CW?
Just a little. I'm just providing a small update. So the guys have been able to sort of gone through and they've refactored a bit of code. So it is in active development. So we do hopefully see the release of Ledger soon.
That's awesome. I think I'll get one just to test it out, just to know how it works and that kind of thing. I'm still, and as you were speaking earlier, it reminded me of my first scare with a CEX, with a central exchange. And I think those maybe don't come enough to scare people into holding your own keys. I think I was doing the typical buy on Coinbase because I'm a US customer, transferring to KuCoin to get some ERG and send it to, I stayed in KuCoin for a little while. But there was one time where I was sending something to KuCoin and it just stayed there. and it said stuck on confirmations. And I looked at the blockchain and I was like, and I sent support and I said, guys, this has like 200 confirmations. What the hell's going on? And they're like, oh, we're sorry. There's an internal confirmation system that it has to go through. And we need two confirmations on that internal system. Right now, it's only one. I sat there for 5 days, maybe. Meanwhile, the market's, you know, doing what the market's doing. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And so, you know, as soon as I got in there and I could swap, I brought it back out and made my Nautilus wallet or the Yoroi. And well, I have to say Yoroi's in the past. I have to state that. I made the Nautilus wallet and transferred it there and all was good. And I will say that initial hurdle of not being able to call somebody and say, hey, I lost access to my account. Can I get in with my, you know, here's my driver license. Here's this, you know, where you could do it at CEX. You know, you can't do that when you hold your own keys. You are responsible for it. And there's many people that, you know, they say, oh, we CNC it or etch it on a steel plate and it's buried in three different locations that are in my head in my backyard kind of thing. That's fantastic. But remember, they're your keys. You mess up, it's done. It's gone. There's no recovering it on other blockchains. And ergo, at least storage rent will recover it for other people in the future. So it's not lost to them, at least.
Yeah. And that's an interesting fact as well, management of the seed phrase. So you might have a hardware device itself, and that's being able to sign the transaction. But to be able to restore the wallet, you need your seed phrase. And that's a whole new kettle of fish, a whole nother kettle of fish as well.
We can talk about that next week for an hour, probably.
Definitely. Sounds like a plan.
All right. Awesome. We got two more things in community chat segments. And I know this was last week, but I just wanted to mention again, Blob Fights was a really cool little app that came forth. And I'll put it up on the screen. I won't share my screen, but I'll put it up on the recording. I made a couple blobs. I made one blob, actually. And then I bought blob number one, which I feel it's the first, like first of first things that I've ever had. So I feel real good about that. But it's kind of really fun in how it's integrated into the blockchain. It's not like hitting fight on the blob and then it's instant fight and it's an instant result. You literally have to wait for the TX to be confirmed, wait for it to go, wait for the blob fight to be processed and come. So it's not a quick process, but it's really fun. And it reminds me of the old days. You know, I'm 41. I know I look 20, right? I'm 41 years old. So back in the days of dial-up modems, the only games we had were these text-based web games where you kind of built your fortress text-based, and then you looked at a top 12,000 list and you picked somebody from that list that you wanted to attack that day. You couldn't see much of their forces, but you could see that they were one rank below or ahead of you. And so you just did a shot in the dark and did it. And this blob fight really brings back that kind of spirit of things in that essence, which was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you should jump on CW. I'll fight you when you get on.
Yeah, I've been meaning to. I haven't had a chance, to be honest. I always have. I always set a couple of minutes aside to be able to jump on there. I've said it numerous times as well that I'm going to do so, but I just haven't found it. I always get sidetracked or get pulled over a different direction. And but I've definitely noticed the enthusiasm of the community jumping on there and sort of discussing their fights and waiting for someone to come on. Like you said, there's a process there to be able to build the transactions and wait for another fighter to come on and things like that. And I love the banter that's sort of created in the community as well about sort of
it's good, yeah,
whose blob's better and all those sort of things. It's cool to be able to see that excitement in the ecosystem.
And I think I stepped away from a day for day number two. I stepped away and I come back and Noah's like on steroids. He's got like this silver helmet and this big silver weapon. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do now?
One of the funniest comments, I think, I don't know if it was related to yours or not. Basically someone having a weapon and it's a hammer.
That was my weapon. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember someone's commenting on that saying, why are you fighting with a crutch?
Yeah. You start off with maybe a stick or something, and I bought and upgraded to a little wooden hammer, and that's as far as I got now. I've been hammering the Blobinator to help test for a while now, so I haven't won yet. I've had like 12 Blobinator fights and no win, so we'll hope we'll get there. The third thing in the community chat segment that that popped up a little bit during the week and last week, and it pops up a lot of time, is box consolidation. So in really simple terms, how the Ergo blockchain works and UTXO work is you have your assets in a box. So if I send CW 10 ERG, that goes from a box, my wallet is a box, essentially. Everything gets pulled out of my box, and 10 ERG goes into a box for CW, and the rest of the stuff goes into a new box for me. And that old box that had all my stuff, done. So now now CW has a box for me, I have a box of my stuff. If I do it again, CW gets another box. So you can see where this is going. Let's say you're a miner, which I mine a little bit. I have a small rig, but I get ERG sent to me every once in a while. So now I try to interact with the dApp and I want to make a payment, or I think recently it was on ErgoPad, there was an issue when we were trying to do Neta staking. We would try to send our Neta, and if I had 10,000 Neta, but it was given to me, you know, in a bunch because I was mining it, that's in many different boxes. So when the dApp tries to interact with that, there could be an issue, and that's very, very simple terms. One of the devs explained it to me more technically, but we're just going high level here. So what consolidating the boxes does is, and there's an app, right? There's a button inside Terminus now, CW, I believe.
Yeah, Terminus or Ergo Wallet, there's a consolidation feature in there now.
So you hit that button and it just sends all your assets back to yourself, wrapped up in one box.
So the way I like to sort of describe it is basically cash transactions. That's a simple term to be able to sort of monitor what a box is. And a box is, say, a $5 note, or in the case of having sort of dusty stuff, you could have a couple of pennies in there and things like that. And what that consolidation does is basically accumulate all that sort of, say you've got a wallet full of change, you can go and cash it for a dollar note or something along those lines. And I may have or allegedly gone and sort of done a couple of tours of the US and got a bit excited on the, some nights out there. And anyone who has done that does end up with just a wallet full of $1 bills just through the tipping process and spending sort of
I'm sure that's why you have a lot of ones in your pocket from that, CW.
Well, yeah, exactly. So what you do then is obviously you've got just a wad of $1 bills, then you can just go and change it for a 20 or something like that. That's basically what your consolidation process is there on consolidating boxes or UTXOs in that case.
Yeah, and I found too, it's happened to me, and it could be a bug in the dApp, it could be just how it works. I've had it where I've had a wallet that I've known I've only taken two transactions into, and let's say I had 500 comment in one and 800 comment in the other, and I was trying to transfer via a dApp to, you know, 1,000 comment worth of comment, which is a sum of those two boxes, and it failed on me. So I did a consolidate boxes, hit it again, went right through, that kind of thing. So usually that's my trick. The first thing I'd say to somebody, consolidate, try again, see what happens.
Yep, definitely. There's some nuances around the consolidation the spending process. So you might only have a limitation on how many inputs into the transaction you can have, which then determines the size of the transaction and things. So that's basically what it kind of comes down to.
All right, awesome. I'll just be really quick about the next segment, Sigmanauts. I want to give a shout out to the Sigmanauts. CW is one of the initial few members of the Sigmanauts, knows how this works. This is a community grassroots kind of group, and I was going to, hopefully we can have Mark come in and talk about EF and Sigmanauts and how that relates to each other and what EF's future is beyond, you know, 3, 4, 5 years kind of thing. But in short, Sigmanauts is, we're really trying to kick it into gear. We're really trying to recruit members. We've got a few subcommittees that we're focusing on. One's governance, two social, kind of social media, onboarding more SIGs, that kind of documentation, and three is treasury. So those are three subcommittees that we thought were really important things that we need to spearhead and figure out before we start, you know, really engulfing the ecosystem and bringing a lot of people on. So the way the process works is, if you're interested in helping out in the community, you can apply to be a SIGCAN, and I'll put that down below on how to apply for that. Once you're a SIGCAN and you meet some requirements that we'll have documented, essentially how you contribute to the community, what you contribute, your time that you can allocate to that kind of thing. Then you can jump up to a Sigmanaut and have voting power on bringing in more SigCans into the program, or overall general voting on how the SigCans are run and what they do in that kind of community governance. So it's very, very important. And SigCans, Sigmanauts should really be seen as the community organization that will really sustain Ergo into the future, as far as that goes. So it's very important. And CW, you may have some words about that too.
Yeah, definitely. It's basically sort of distributing power away from the EF and getting that community grassroots approach to numerous aspects in the community to be able to push initiatives forward. So a lot of people are saying or asking, how can they contribute to Ergo when they come into the ecosystem? They might not have a developer background, or they might have a profession in a different field and things like that. And there's numerous ways that you can sort of apply that experience and sort of education into the Ergo ecosystem. So you might have like a marketing front, or you might have a graphics background, a graphic design background. You could be have no expertise on a technical front, but then you could jump on and have moderation of the community chats and things like that. So there's numerous ways to be able to sort of jump into the Ergo ecosystem and contribute and build up the sort of the resilience of the ecosystem as a whole. And ultimately, you don't have to have a technical background. Everyone can learn what's going on behind the scenes and ultimately apply that across the board. Having that initiative, like you just mentioned, being able to sort of build out the treasury funds or the management of the treasury and simple things like that. I think it's fantastic, but I'm sort of taking a little step back now as well. And people like yourself have taken the initiative to drive all these sort of initiatives forward. And ultimately, like you said, take that all that sort of reliance on the EF away, and ultimately sort of you did mention Mark was going to talk on this, but sort of ultimately make the EF irrelevant in the future and hand everything over to the community. And the Sigmanauts is just a culmination of people who are like-minded and want to sort of drive that force forward. If you have any sort of desire to do so, there's a little sort of snippet of what the Sigmanauts is on the website, and QX, you can link that down below as well. And obviously that does, there is a link there to apply to be a SigCan, and that ultimately is generated and fed into the Sigmanaut system where people can review and things like that and ultimately vote on, and you have the progression there. So I think it's fantastic that the Sigmanauts are finding their voice and ultimately moving forward and driving this success forward by themselves.
Yeah, I totally agree. It can be a lot of work, and you got to be careful, as Noah said, I think, in Sisyphus had said that just be careful not to take on more than you can, take on much you can, and then grow from there, kind of thing. Awesome. Exactly. Well, that pretty much wraps it up, CW. I want to remind everybody that on Wednesday, CW's show always comes out, Hash It Out with CW, which is absolutely fantastic. I look forward to it every week. The dev update channel, if maybe a little high level, but please feel free to join the Discord for the Wednesday morning dev updates at I think it's 8 a.m. my time, which is Eastern. And then that dev video comes up on every Sunday, which is fantastic to watch as well, with CW and Joe Arminio. And then this new series that comes out every Friday night. As long as you guys keep trucking in the community and we can think of things to talk about and inform you about and dumb down as well for people that aren't devs and want to see that, then we'll continue to do this.
Yes, fantastic initiative. And thank you once again for putting it together. And we do have numerous aspects where we can sort of track the technical side of things, but ultimately there's a lot of things going on in the community and highlighting, like say, NFT releases or little, numerous sort of things. You know what it's like, that there could be comments that are made on Twitter and a hot topic that we can discuss, or numerous things that highlight things in the community and discuss and bring that to light. I think it's fantastic for everyone.
Exactly. Awesome. Thanks so much, CDW. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure chatting, guys. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Have a good one.